That's the wrong way to think. And your generation, you guys were born for such a time as this. There is a reason. Proverbs says that there was a reason you were born, and that he chose when you were born. He did that. And this time where you're born is to bring this thing across the finish line. The greatest time to be alive in human history. You're going to see something that all those came before us don't get to partake in. And I truly, truly believe that you're going to bring this thing home. So you carry such a greater weighty anointing, you know, for that purpose than I did, just being a knucklehead running around thinking I was just whatever. But you guys, I think you have an understanding that there's something different about this generation. He's pouring himself out into this generation. So I just want you guys to understand that your life is not your own. Your life is not your own. When you come to the Lord and you give your life, that's what it means. You give your life. You lay your life down. It's not yours to live. And you think you get out of high school and it's just like, I'm out of my parents' house and I'm just doing and I can do these things. And, you know, and that is enemy with God. That is, when you're doing that, when you're friends with the world, you're at enemy. You're an enemy with the Lord. And I just want a prayer of you guys, so because you're seniors, Kendall, you're just starting your career, you know, you guys are just starting out, and I just want you guys to understand the weight of really what you guys carry and what you're stepping into. It's a whole new dispensation of what we're stepping into and what you guys are going to see, unlike any other generation before you. Okay, so let me just pray. Father, I just thank you for every young person in here, Lord, that they would truly understand the full weight of why they were born and why they were born at this time, because you trusted them with something that's so heavy and so weighty. Father, you trusted that they were going to be able to partner with you and truly lay down their life to such a degree that they would just carry you and you alone, and they would do the work of the Lord without any thought about what's in it for me, Lord. That's not what they have, Lord. They have an understanding that it's an honor and a privilege to be born in this day and age. That what is coming, that they can actually partake of it in a way that no other generation had. That they get to carry a presence, and they get to walk in union with you so thick and so weighty that your presence will come on them in such a degree that this world has no hold on them whatsoever. That their will is to do your will. And Father, I just pray a grace, Lord, on them tonight. Just an understanding. Just let them take it here tonight. Just mark them tonight. Brand them with an importance and understanding the importance of the day and age that they're living. And that they would take that and it would follow them through their days to know that I was born for something greater than myself. Father, I just thank you that you would go with them, that you would protect them, that you would give them the grace, that you would give them the things, the skills, the talents, and the things that they need to do your will, to bring you glory at the end of this, Lord. And what an honor to bring this thing across the finish line and have all of the cloud of witnesses cheering them on, saying, run your race and do it well. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't get tangled up in the sins that so easily entangle that so many young people do. No, stay consecrated. Set yourself apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ and watch him do mighty, mighty works in your life. And Lord, we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I love seeing young people and I love their hearts. Even on a Wednesday night, you know, Wednesdays are, I like Wednesdays. It's just, you know, I think they started Wednesdays just because, you know, when they started church and they were just in such this works mentality and they were like, we got to have something because I'm barely making it through the week. And then you come on a Wednesday just to get lifted up, just to try to make it through the week. And that's not what it is. That's not how this thing was set up, to barely make it through the week, to have just to revitalize in the middle of the week, just to get through another 4 days so I can, that sounds like not something I want. Who would want that, right? Wednesdays are a people of consecration. These people are hungry. You people are hungry to come and just get before the Lord and give the Lord glory. And I just love Wednesday nights, and I love that you come, and I love what Angie's doing. So tonight, we're doing something a little different. We're going to because, and I see some new faces here. So what we're doing is September is an important month, and we're taking September very serious, and we're doing some things at September because September is the new calendar year for the Hebrew calendar. That is the calendar that Jesus follows. He does not follow our Gregorian calendar that we created. He honors it, and it overlaps a lot, but he does not follow that calendar. He follows his own calendar. That's the Hebrew calendar, and that's the one that we honor. So every year, during the new year for the Hebrew New Year, a lot of people fast and pray, and they seek the Lord for how many days, whatever. A lot of people just get in there, and that's just what they do. Most fast the first 21 days of the year, right, of that new year. So September 25th or 26th is when they'll do their 21 days. I always like to do it prior to see what you would have for us come the new year, right? What is this new year? And the idea behind it is that we seek the Lord to pray and to fast, to say, what is it that you're bringing us into? Is there something that you need us to do? Do we need to change in a certain way? Is there something that you're bringing us through? And whatever, just seek the Lord for that new year, because every new year, and I'm not going to get into all the numbers of it, but in numbers have meaning, right? And every year has a different number, and that number has a meaning, and that meaning usually speaks to what's going on in that year, okay? So that's what we just want to be good stewards. We just want to do it well, and that's why we're doing that. So September 5th, we're starting a fast. It's a 21-day Daniel fast. So we just wanted to, and then the last fast that we did, we jumped into it pretty quick, and we had a lot of questions, and I feel like that was my fault, that we just didn't take the time to really go through that and discuss it. But everybody did awesome. Y'all did awesome. It was awesome. And we broke it with a fellowship Sunday here, and we did that with the potluck and everything, and it was awesome. But we just want to take some time tonight, and Pastor Rick suggested that we do this so everybody knows what's going on. And so that's what we're going to do. So just keep it loosey-goosey tonight. We can just, if you have a question, you can ask. Angie's going to come up and do her little spiel. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take you through biblical 10 days of awe. Mm-hmm. Yes. So what she's talking about is, okay, so what we're coming into is September is the new year. So the 25th is Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that is the head of the year. That's what Rosh Hashanah means, the head of the year. And that's the holiest day of the year. As the Jews, they set that day apart as the holiest day of the year. Well, the 10 days prior, okay, so the 15th to the 25th, those 10 days are called the 10 days of awe in the Jewish calendar. So those are the holiest days. So what they mean by that, the 10 days of awe, is they say that during those 10 days, you are as close to heaven, you are as close to that realm as you'll ever be all year long. Like in those 10 days, that veil gets so thin that you're so connected to that supernatural realm that you can hear him more clear, you can see him more clear, encounters happen, visions happen, dreams happen, because those days are consecrated, set apart to seek him in such a degree that he shows up in such a degree. Up until that most holy day of the year, Yom Kippur, which is that day, right? And that's the 25th. And in that 10 days, just that she brought this up, during that 10 days, what we're going to do, and if you were asking you to do it as well, is learn to wait on the Lord in those 10 days. Really take those 10 days and do what is called and wait on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord is different than praying. Waiting on the Lord is different than worship. It's different than praising. It's different than anything. It's literally getting quiet before the Lord and just sitting there and putting his face before you, just focusing on him. And literally waiting for him to speak, waiting for him to move, waiting for him to, however he wants to do, whatever he wants to do, that you just wait, that you give him that time. You know, we think prayer, a lot of times where, you know, Matthew 6, when he talks about go into the closet and shut yourself off and pray, we get it wrong a lot because we think prayer means go into your prayer closet and give him my list of stuff that I need him to show up on my behalf for, and then when I've said my list, I'm done, and we leave. And that's prayer. That's not prayer. That is you going in and just rubbing a genie in a lamp and saying, Lord, I need you to do this for me. Thanks a lot. I'll be back next time I need something. That's not prayer. That's you just giving your laundry list to the Lord for things I need you to do for me. Prayer is communication between you and Almighty God. There's a communication. There should be a dialogue. There should be a narrative. There should be a time where you're not only giving him your laundry list. That's fine. He don't mind that. He'll listen, I promise you. But then you need to be quiet and you need to wait for him to speak to you. It should be a conversation. You should come out of your prayer time hearing the Lord and to say, this is what I heard from the Lord in my prayer time. But he is not going to speak to you if you're 15 minutes in there and pray and I need money and pray and I need a house and pray and man, I need money, you know, and this and that and that. Again, he's okay with that. Do those. But that's not all it should be. It should be, okay, Lord, I'm here. What do you have to say? What do you want to tell me? And he's so pleased with people who do that, because so often we forget that prayer is actually communication. And so that's what we want to do on those 10 days, and we just want to learn. And even if it's 15 minutes at a time, just learn. Just learn how to do it. If you have problems like me, ADD, and you always have to be doing stuff, and it's hard. 5 minutes will feel like 5 hours. It does sometimes. You just feel like, you're just like, man, I've been here for an hour, and you're like, it's been 3 minutes. It's hard. But he will honor you doing that. He will honor you because your heart's right, because your motives are pure, you know what I mean? And that's what he's going to honor. And he'll talk to you. Believe me, he will. He wants to talk to you more than you want him to talk to you, I promise you. Okay, so that's what those 10 days are, the 15th to the 25th. The fast starts on the 5th. And then on the 25th, is that a Tuesday, right, Angie? I think it's a Tuesday. The 25th is a Tuesday. I think that's when we, or Monday. I don't, it's a Monday. That's the last day of the fast. And I was praying about that actually today up here, praying about that, because what we're going to do is we're going to come up here that last day, and what I think is going to be from maybe from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and just sit in here, and we're going to fast that day, a total fast, and we're just going to sit here. Pray for me, because it's going to be a long day. And I was even thinking about it. I was thinking, Lord, should we just do an hour of praise and an hour of waiting, like to break it up? I was really wondering, like, how do we do this? And we'll see. We'll see. But we're going to do it that last day and just really press into that day and really give him honor and wait on him and see what he wants to do. Because I know he's going to do something big. I know he wants to do something big for this next year. I mean, just look at the times we're living in. And that's what September is for us. And we've had some words of the Lord, you know, some scripture spoken over us. God has given us some scripture about where we're going and what we're stepping into. And we're praying into those things. We're praying into a lot of things. You guys have a lot of things that you're praying for. And fasting is one of those ways that God honors and answers through prayer and fasting. And that's what we want to show you today. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through and say I'm going to do some Old Testament, but I didn't put them down purposely, because I'm just going to kind of go through those. And there's not going to be a scripture reference. I'm just going to read some of those, because some of them are just for reference to show you. Because what I really want to do is I really want to get to the New Testament scriptures where Jesus taught on fasting and spoke about fasting and how they fasted. But what I want to do with the Old Testament is I just want to show you this thread that goes through all the Old Testament and then into the New Testament of all the gunners, right? Of all the heroes of the faith. And you look, and if you study their life out and you look, I mean, I'm talking about these men who operated mightily and powerful, the prophets, Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all these guys, if you study their life out, the ones that were really getting it done for the Lord, and you look at their life, you look at their family life, you look at their prayer life, you look at their, and the two things that every single one of them did, prayer and fasting, period. It was like there wasn't an option. It was just what they did. And that's what I kind of want to show you, because a lot of times, just with scripture and just theology or whatever. You know, a lot of times we think, well, that was for the Old Testament. That was for them. That was during those, you know, the law, and they did that. But that's not true. That's not true, and I want to show you a little bit of that today. And so the first scripture I want to read for you, baby, you hand me those glasses, please. Thank you. Okay, and there was only three people. The first one here is, it's Exodus 34:28, and this is Moses. And there's only been three people who have done a 40-day fast that's recorded, right? There's only three people, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And those are the only three people that have done a 40-day fast. Okay, and I'll show you why. And this is Exodus 34:28. Says, so he stayed there with God, and this is when he went up onto the mountain, right? When the Lord called him up onto the mountain. And so he stayed there with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not eat bread or drink water. And that's for 40 days. Amy and I looked it up today because I was curious. I was like, how long can you go without food? And it just depending on your body type, your body weight, and things like that, it said between 8 and 21 days or something like that is how long you can go without food. But beyond 21 days, 25 days, your body needs food. 40 days. And then we looked up water, and it said it's between 3 and 7 days. But if you go more than 7 days without water, your body will start to shut down. It just needs water to function. 40 days. And why that is, it's just like when Jesus was in the desert and he says, what, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. And when Moses was in the face of Jesus, when he was there with that Shekinah glory and he was there, what he is life. He is the sustainer of life. And when you are in that type of an atmosphere, you are no longer being sustained with anything physical that this world can give you. You are literally in the presence of a life-giving God. He's the giver of life. He breathes the breath of life into us that gets us going. So I bet Moses wasn't even thinking about food. Didn't have to. Probably didn't have to until afterwards, and he came down and, you know, Joshua was like, man, what are you, you've been gone for 40 days. You're all glowing. What's going on? You know? And he probably didn't even think about it. But this is kind of what we're talking about, that we want to get so enamored, so just engaged on him and his presence and who he is and focused on him that you can actually shut off your soul to the degree that you do not need these things any longer. And you can actually get, you'd be surprised what your body can do, what your physical body is capable of. You'd be surprised. 40 days. That's Moses, Exodus. Next one I just want to look at, and this is one I'm just going to do real quick. This is the Israelites, and this is the Battle of Gibeah in Judges 20, 26. But I want to show you this. The one reason when I show this is because it says all of Israel. All of Israel. This is Judges 20, verse 26, that says, then all Israel went up, and all the people came to Bethel and wept and sat there before God. They fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Okay, so you see, this just wasn't one thing that where they decided, okay, I'm going to fast, and then No, the entire nation understood that this was something that they did. They had an understanding as a nation, as a people of God. We are his people. He's our God. We're his people. We understand that fasting is important. And for a number of things, this was just kind of for mourning and understanding that we're in trouble and we lost this battle. And we need to get before the Lord. And it was just, there was different types, but they understood that this was part of their who they were, that fasting just becomes part of their how they live before the Lord. Okay. All right, next one. And look at all, these are all tabs that, and I might not hit them all, but there's so many, and there's so many I didn't even do. So you can do your own study, and it just goes on and on and on. This one is Samuel 31:13, and this is after they killed Saul, and they went and got Saul's body, and they were mourning over Saul. 31:13, it says, they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted for 7 days. Now look, we read this and we think that's great. I did a total, the longest one I've ever done, total, no food, was 3 days. It felt like 30. Like, I'm not kidding you. I'll just tell you, I waited until midnight of that third. I said, I'm staying up. I got to eat. When it hits midnight, I'm eating. I mean, I was still working and I was doing everything. I was drinking water. I didn't do no water. But it's hard. Go 3 days without eating food. And so we read this and we just go over it because we just think it's whatever. And you read 7 days, 10 days, 14 days, 40 days. And we think, because your mind doesn't go there, that we tend to think that these are just cute Bible stories. They're not. This happened. So you have to let your mind go there and understand this is possible. This was before the Holy Spirit. This was possible. This is straight on faith alone they're doing this, right? Just working it out in their flesh. 7 days. 7 days they fasted. This is David when he fasted 7 days, and this was in consecration to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. This is where with Bathsheba that he wanted to just get before the Lord and just say, I'm so sorry. This is 2 Samuel 12:16. It says, then David therefore sought God. Well, let me back up. Then God struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became very sick. And David therefore sought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the floor. And we all know what happened. The child died, and then he got up and he ate. But he just knew, I need to fast. This is just what we do. We're going to fast. We're going to put on sackcloth. We're going to do ashes. And they did all the tradition that they did. But fasting was what they did. Elijah. Here's this one. Another 40 days. This is 1 Kings 19. So he arose and ate and drank, right? The angel came to him and told him, wake up a couple times, wake up. You got to eat, you got to drink. You're going to need this for this journey. The journey's long. A couple times he woke up. And then verse 8, so he said, he arose and he ate and drank. And in the strength of that meal, carried him. It sustained him for 40 days and 40 nights as he traveled to Mount Horeb. That's supernatural. Okay, for one, he was interacting with an angel, right? That's supernatural. And he was making him food for this long journey. And that one meal sustained him for 40 days. This is not a cute story. This is just not something that we tell just as to incur. This happened. And we have to understand this is a part of their life. It's a part of our lives. And this is why we do this. All right, I'm just going to do a couple more, and then we're going to jump, and I'm going to turn it over to Angie. I know. What's funny is he said it was just some water and some cakes that they baked.
Mm-hmm.
I love angel food cake too. We love it at our house. It's funny that you say that, Melanie, because let's go to Ezekiel real quick, and I'll finish this one here in the Old Testament. But Ezekiel and Daniel, when they fasted, they fasted in a way because Ezekiel and Daniel, there's different kinds of prophets, and they were seer prophets. Ezekiel was a seer prophet, which means the Lord took him into realm, not only allowed them to see things, but took them into realms that were not of this world. He allowed them to see the supernatural realm in a world, like in a way that not many saw. And then when you see Ezekiel and you see how they fasted, you can see how the two correlate, why they consecrated them. You know, we sing songs like the one we were listening to, that we were just singing one just tonight, where it's saying, Lord, whatever the cost, I freely give, whatever the cost. And we sing these songs, and we do it all the time. We come in and whatever, an emotion, and we get, you know, emotion, and we get feelings stirred up, and we say these things, and Lord, whatever the cost I'm in, and I'll pay whatever. Okay, fast. And you're like, well, hold on. You know, hold on. What is the cost of that? What is it? You know, and then we say these things, and then when it comes time to really pay a price for the Lord to get more of God, then we start to say, well, hold on a second. You know, okay, well, I'll do this, but I won't do this. And then we start to make deals with the Lord. And look, either I say this all the time, look, either he's God or he's not, right? Either he's God or he's not. And if he is, and he's saved your life and saved you from hell, what you deserve, and when you come to him, you say, I crucify my flesh, I am dead, and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me, then why would we complain if we have to miss out on a little bit of food? You're already dead. You've already died. Right? You say, I'm dead, and I'm your, now it's the life for you that I'm living. It's your will. And we do this all the time, because when we get pushed a little bit and we get a little uncomfortable and we get, you know, inconvenienced about how we like things, then it really shines a light on, am I really doing the things I say I do? You know, when you come into church on Sunday and like, oh, I love you and everything. And then we just go out, you know, and already you're at lunch arguing with your wife and smacking your kids. And, you know, I'm, we're just being funny, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like you a lot of times we say these things, but we say and be out of emotion. What if we really meant them? What if we read this book and we actually believed it? And actually believed what it says and actually believed that we have what it says we have? What if we actually stepped into the authority, Abraham, of what this book says we have? What would that look like? What would that look like? Fasting is what gets you there. Prayer and fasting is what gets you to what I'm talking about. This is the way in. This is how we do it. And look at Ezekiel here in Ezekiel 4. This is insanity. But Ezekiel saw things that you would just dream of seeing, the things that God showed Ezekiel. And this is crazy. It says, I'm just going to start in verse 1 and go through this. It says, verse 1, now you, son of man, take a brick and lay it before you, engrave a city on it, the name of Jerusalem, lay siege against it, build earthworks against it, raise an assault ramp against it, pinch camps against it, and place battering rams all around it. Then take an iron plate. Just listen to all this stuff that God is having him do as the gap, the one that's standing in the gap for Israel. Because of the things that they did, Ezekiel, you're going to have to stand in the gap for them and take on the sins and take on the stuff for them to get them through. This is what's going on. It says, set your face towards it so that it's under siege. So you will lay siege against it, and it will be a sign to the house of Israel. Then he says, verse 4, then you are to lie on your left side and set on it the punishment of the house of Israel. According to the number of days that you lie on it, you will bear their iniquity. I have appointed the years of their punishment to you as a number of the days, 390 days. So you will bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you, so he's laying on his left side towards Israel, putting the stuff up that God said to put up. And while he's doing it for 390 days, that's a year and a little over two months, right? And you're prophesying to Israel for over a year. You're laying on your left side. Then when you're done laying on your left side, it says, so you will bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When you have completed that, then you will lie on your right side and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah for 40 more days, a day for each year I've appointed to you. You will set your face towards the siege of Jerusalem with your arm bared and prophesy against it. And listen what he ate. Behold, I will put ropes upon you. You will not be able to turn from side to side until you have completed the days of your siege. Take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and rye, and put them in one bowl. You may make bread for them for the number of days that you will lie on your side. For 390 days, you will eat it. That food you will be eaten will be no more than 20 shekels a day by weight. And you may eat for it from time to time. You also drink water by measure, a sixth of a hin, and you may drink from it from time to time. So for a year and almost 3 months, while you're laying on your side prophesying, it's 8 ounces. That was 8 ounces of what the Lord gave him. You have 8 ounces of bread that you can eat, and every once in a while during the day you can take a bite, but you can't eat more than 8 ounces for a year. And then the water was a little under a liter of water a day. Do you hear that? Like, and we complain about missing breakfast. We do. I'm just being honest, right? I mean, we can skip a meal, right? And we got to start somewhere. And that's where I want to show you guys that fasting is such a part of their life that God was even telling him, no, this is how you're going to do it, and you're not going to eat more than this. You will not have more than 8 ounces of food. And when you step in and you listen and you actually consecrate yourself, something supernatural takes over. And it happens with us here when we fast. Something supernatural starts to take over, and you start to find something out that you never realized about yourself and you never realized about God, and there's something going on, and you start to get, the veil starts to get very, very thin. Okay? So just please understand that as we go through this. So I'm just going to skip to the New Testament because I want to show you, because a lot of us will say, but man, you can go through this. Joel, Jonah, Nineveh. You talk about Nineveh, Jonah, Nineveh. They got so consecrated because when Jonah came and told them, like, he's going to send fire out, he's going to burn all y'all up, y'all are dead. They got so terrified, they said, oh no, we're fasting. We're going to fast and we're going to take you before the Lord. He said they made their animals fast. They're animals. He said, our animals are going to wear sackcloth, and our animals aren't even going to eat or drink water. Do you see how hardcore they take this? They take it serious. We need to take this serious. I mean, and God honored them, and he didn't wipe them out. I mean, their life was on the line. And Jonah was even mad about that. Great, I told him you're going to wipe them out. Now you're not. They're going to think I'm a liar and a false prophet, and now you're doing this to me. But you have to see how God honors fasting. Okay, so Jonah, Nineveh, Joel, and all of these, Zechariah. I mean, do the study on your own. Go through the Psalms and see how many times David talks about fasting. Esther, right? That's a beautiful one. We can just go on and on. Daniel, she's going to go over the ones in Daniel. Ezra, Nehemiah. Oh, we just talked about Nehemiah last Sunday. What did he do? What's the first thing he did when he got the bad news? The first thing. I sought the Lord, and I prayed, and I fasted. It's just their go-to. It's just part of their normal. This is just how life is as children of God. We fast. This is how we get answers. They understood it way better than we understand it. They knew that just fasting was part of how they live life. So let's go to the New Testament now. Matthew 4, 2. And this is where he was pulled into the desert, and he was tempted, right? He says, and the devil was tempting him. It was 40 days. It was right at the end of the fast, so he's probably on day 40, right? And this is where the devil comes to tempt him when he's at his weakest point. And he says, tell them, turn the stones to bread. And Jesus replied, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's what I'm talking about. This is what we need to get to a place to, that we have to understand that. And I'll tell you this, it's just not only food. Like, there's other fasts we can do. Our children do social media. I think one of the things that Ashley did one time was TikTok, and I thought he was going to die. Like, I thought it was really going to be like, but all of a sudden, remember him? He was showing up on the couch at times. You're like, what are you doing here? What are you doing? He's like, I'm off TikTok. Like, it started a conversation. He was hanging out with the family. It was awesome. But there's other fasts that you can do. Whatever it is that maybe if there's an idol in your life or there's something that you really just want to bow, right? You just want that thing to bow in your life, fast it. And that's great, and do that. But I'm telling you, food is really how it's done. When you deprive yourself of something your body needs to live, that's when supernatural things take over, because you start to see things that start to happen. When you really cut something out of your life that your body needs, because you're saying, I even want you more than this, because you're life to me more than this is life to me. You are what sustained me, not that. You are my sustainer. And that's why it really is so important to do food. But do them all. I agree. I love it all. I've done them all. Man, they're good. When you do social media or TV or whatever, you get so bored, so you start to hang out with him more. So it just gives you more time in the presence of God. So that's awesome. Okay. But let me show you this. This is Matthew 6, and this is where Jesus is teaching on fasting. This is what I wanted to get to right here, because this is him saying, this should be a part of who you are. And listen, it comes right in Matthew 6. This is the quintessential chapter where right in the very first of the chapter, he's telling you how to pray. And they're asking, how do we pray? And he's saying, this is how you pray. And it's weird that he talks about fasting immediately after he talks about praying, he goes right into fasting. Because these two are married. They are coupled. You cannot do one without the other. You can't do it. So he goes in, right? And then in verse 5, he says, when you pray, go in the door and say, when you pray. And then all of a sudden he goes into verse 16. And then he goes right and switch over. And then he says, and whenever you fast. Not if. He didn't say if. Whenever you do fast, meaning you're going to fast. You will. Remember when they were talking to John the Baptist? They came, the Pharisees came to John and them and said, hey, John, why is it that your people don't fast? We're fasting like crazy all the time. We're so self-righteous. We got this thing pegged, but you guys never fast. And Jesus said, look, when the bridegroom is with you, are you going to fast when the bridegroom is with you? No, you're going to celebrate. You don't fast when the bridegroom, are you going to fast at a wedding? No. He says, but when the bridegroom is gone, they will fast. They will. So he's telling us we will. Then it goes on and on. And then in verse 17, he said, okay, let's just read 16. And whenever you fast, do not become sad faced like the hypocrites, for they neglect their faces and make their fasting evident to men. He says, amen, I tell you, they have their reward in full. Again, verse 17, but when you fast, that sounds like a command to me. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting won't be evident to men, but to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who's in secret. And here's the catch. Here it is. When you fast, I will reward you. There it is, right there. When you fast, it brings a reward. It brings a reward. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 29. He's talking about a miracle that just happened. And he says, and this is Jesus talking, and he says, and he said to them, why couldn't this one come out? Why didn't it work? And Jesus said to them, because this kind cannot come out except through prayer and fasting. So that tells us that there are even certain miracles, certain healings, certain things that can't be cast out unless you take it to the degree to where you consecrate yourself so much that you're actually fasting. Because if you're just praying and you think, well, I just don't need to fast, I'm okay, I don't really need to take my relationship with the Lord to that level. He sees where I'm at, and it's okay for me to enjoy this, and I'm not really going to do that. You guys can do that. Okay, great. But you're not going to get some things that you should get. And I'll tell you this, if God is handing it out, I want it. I don't care what it is. If he is saying there is something available to me, you better believe I'm going to be doing it. Because I want that. And I'll do whatever it takes to get it. And I pray that for everybody in here. I hope everybody in here should feel that way, that same way. Lord, if you're handing it out, I want that very thing. So it's good to go through these scriptures and see these things. And then Luke 5, 33-35, and then Angie's going to come up. It says, oh, this is the one. But Jesus said to them, you cannot make the guests of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But the days will, hear that, they will come. Meaning they are coming. They will come when the bridegroom is taken away, and they will fast in those days. They will. So I just wanted to give some biblical groundwork to this is biblical. This is what gets you breakthrough. This is what opens up a realm that otherwise would not, when we are going after things for the Lord. Because look, we're going after things in God. We're not okay with just coming in and getting step one. I'm not okay with step one. I want the higher. I want the deeper. I want the mysteries. I want the secrets of God. I want everything he has for me. Amen. And I want that for everybody in here as well. Okay, so let me just pray, Angie, and then come on up. Father, I just thank you, Father, that you are a God who rewards those who are hungry for you. Hebrews 11:6 says you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father, I just pray that over everybody in this room, that we are diligent during this fast about seeking you, that diligence means praying and fasting, Lord, that we're diligent, that we're extreme, like we'll go to great lengths to get the things that you have for us. So, Father, right now, I pray a grace over everybody in here. That they can do this fast and they can do it well and they can do it with a right heart and right motives and just pure in heart, truly doing it to get the deeper things that you have for us. So not only individually you will give us for, individually for our families and for our loved ones, but here corporately for this corporate body of people that we can step into greater things that you have for us here, Lord. So Lord, we just consecrate ourselves right here now before you out in the open and everybody, Lord. Give us the grace and the ability to do the things that you've called us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm stealing one of these. Okay.
All right. May I borrow that mic?
Yes, I'm sorry.
There we go. Okay, so the other day I had just sat down to pray, and we had gotten several prayer requests in a row, so I was just, you know, going to take it before the Lord. And here's what happened as soon as I sat down to pray. I closed my eyes, and I immediately saw like a picture of like a giant forming. And I know that sounds weird, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what is this, the whole vision thing? Well, let me explain. All of us see in pictures, okay? So a lot of times the pictures that we're seeing is something bad happening. For the young people, it might be, I'm going to fail this test. This relationship isn't going to work out. For us older folks, it might be bad things are going to happen to our kids, and we see all that. So we are seeing in pictures already. So don't let that sound weird to you to say that I closed my eyes and I saw a picture, because you do it too. So I closed my eyes, and immediately I saw this picture of a giant forming. And so I was like, my agenda at the time was to pray. So I felt weird. I was like, God, don't you want me to pray about this prayer request? And here's what I felt like he said inside my heart. I got this. I want you to get that. I was like, okay, cool. What's that? And he never said. And to me, that's typically how our conversations go. I don't know if you feel that way about God, but it's like this puzzle all the time, or it's this hide and seek thing that he wants to draw you in, and then that's what the fast is. And then he wants us to go after things. So I thought, okay, what are you trying to guide me to? And typically what happens for me, and I'm thinking this is maybe like a, you know, for all of us a blanket thing, that whatever burdens us, and I'm not saying that in a negative way because it's not, but whatever is maybe assignment is better, or call, or whatever, however you want to say it. But whatever burdens us is usually the direction that God wants us to go. So what was burdening me at the time was this church, this our family here, and our nation. And so I felt like that's what God wanted us to kind of focus on. But I perceived that even though we have some things going on like in our nation, and we had talked about it in the Seven Mountains a couple weeks ago, that some of us are feeling like a little heavy about it all. Like, how are we going to enter into this? How are we going to make a difference? How are we going to do something? What is this forming giant? So I thought, okay, God, nothing is new under the sun. So take me to where these things have been done before in Scripture. So immediately I thought about Daniel. And I know the crazy thing about this is we had this fast coming, but, and forgive me, my brain isn't always that firing. So I wasn't thinking Daniel in the fast. I was just thinking Daniel and the times that he lived in governmentally, okay? Because really governmental stuff was more what was on my mind. But as I started looking into it more, into the prayers, I was like, how can you talk about Daniel and these prayers that he prayed without talking about what we're doing, the fast? And I'm telling you, somewhere in here, I realized, oh my gosh, God is lining all these things up. It's like a puzzle, and he's putting everything together. So I'm going to try to give you my part of the puzzle with Daniel. What we're going to look at is two prayers that he prayed. They're both Daniel 9 and Daniel 10. And they are very similar to one another in that something happened from the get-go of these prayers. And so as we head in towards these next couple weeks and what we're going to do, I want you, if you will, to kind of carry this with you, some of these thoughts in your mind. And then what I'm going to do after I close up with these two prayers is tie it to what is the forming giant. All right, so check this out real quick. Daniel chapter 9. And look at verse 1 and 2. It says, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the offspring of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books. Okay, so what does that mean when Daniel says, I understood from the books? He's studying scripture. Okay, and this is crazy because he and Ezra and Jeremiah, they were contemporaries. But look who he's studying. If you go on and read the verse, it says, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. So he so valued prophecy. He so valued words that were given from God to man that he's going over these words. And by these words, he knew the time frame of the season that he was living in. So it says, let's see, the rest of verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books the number of the years which, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the desolations. Do you know what we can know? And it's 70 years. Do you know that we can know through scripture the times that we're living in? We can understand. That's what Daniel is doing. And that's my first principle right there. As we go into our fast, we need to go into it with a directive, with a focus, with a goal. Write things down. Know what you're praying for. Know what you're going after. He knew what he should be praying for by the word of the God, by the word of the Lord. Let me tell you how important that is. Okay, so say, and just as an off the wall example, when we know God's word about, we'll say about provision. Okay, we know that Jesus wants our needs met. Well, we can pray based on his word, not our emotions. How about health and healing? Did you know we're to pray the word, not how we feel, not what we see? What about what's going on in our nation, which was heavy on me? We're to pray the word. That's a word that I'm going to give you the word about our nation. It's about all of us and our part in it. But we're to pray the word. So Daniel, through studying scripture, he knew God's word. He knew what he was supposed to pray about. And then look at this. Verse 3 says, I set my face to the Lord. Now, I don't know why this just is such a big deal to me. I've been saying it over and over to myself. I set my face to the Lord. Our daughter Gab, she was homeschooled, and I don't know why this stuck out in my mind of all the things, but in language class, there was sit, sat, set. Set, for some reason, this was just a big deal. It meant to put or place something. Do you know what said? David said, I set, I placed the Lord before me. Get this promise. I will never be moved because of the placement that I put the Lord. That's up to us. We get to decide that. We get to decide how much we do and how much we don't want. So he said, I set my face. I'd already studied scripture. I value God's word so much. I know the time I'm living in. I know what I need to be praying for. So I'm going to now set my face towards the Lord and seek him by prayer and supplication. That means he was humbling himself with fasting and with sackcloth and with ashes. I think that was interesting what you said about even the animals were fasting and wearing sackcloth and ashes. I don't know if you know what the sackcloth was, but it was goat hair. Okay, great. Going to wear goat hair for a year and fast? I mean, oh my gosh. I know that talk about giving your all to hear the word of the Lord. Everything they had, they were willing to do and give up so that they could hear God. So look at this. This is, I think it says it in the King James Version. I liked this so much. Daniel 9:3 in the King James Version. It says, then. Oh, that doesn't sound like a big deal. But then, after I had studied scripture, I know what's supposed to be, I'm supposed to be praying for, then I set my face toward the Lord with prayer, with supplication, with fasting. I don't know why I have to know things in the English language, but with is a preposition and it means to be accompanied by. What is our prayer supposed to be accompanied by? It says it right here. He said the prayer is to be accompanied by fasting. But listen to this word for prayer. It's the word tefillah. And it comes from a word that means to intervene, to intercede. So he's saying, I'm going to intervene. I'm going to intercede for my nation, for my people through prayer and fasting, with supplication, which means to humble yourself. So he has set this all up. I mean, this isn't, you know, just a half-hearted plan. He has positioned himself to go after the things that he knew God wanted him to have, positioned himself for it through prayer, through fasting, humbling himself before the Lord. And I was thinking about this this approach. Sometimes people can think, well, we're New Covenant people. Why would we want to, do we even need to do any of this? And the other day, something had happened, and I was aggravated about it and upset about it. And our daughter, Gab, she took responsibility for everything that had happened. A unique approach for a young person. Very. But I will tell you, it was rather pleasing to me. When you go through this prayer that Daniel prayed, he took responsibility for things that he didn't do on behalf of his nation. He listed, I mean, I don't know that we humble ourselves quite like that. My stinky attitude, the way I talk to people, the way I think, the way I respond, the way I react. He just lists it all, everything. And he said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for how we have behaved. And you think again, you know, okay, we're New Covenant people. Do we need to do that? You know what James, it says in James, he said, what happens to the prideful, the people who won't humble themselves? God resists them. Do you want God to resist you? Oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. And look, I'm not teaching the law. I'm not talking law at all. I'm saying, as a human mother, taking responsibility was so appealing. I'm not reducing God to human emotions, but I'm telling you, he responds to humility. He responds to pride too, but it's not in the way we want, okay? And I picture this, when God says he's resisting me, man, I don't want his back turned towards me. So we have to humble ourselves. And so when we come before him with prayer and with fasting, we are humbling ourselves. And I thought about, you said this past Sunday, this is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, if they will do this, I will hear. I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. And if you go back through Psalm 107, it repeatedly states, man, they messed up, they got off track, God had this the way that they were supposed to walk things out, and they would humble themselves, and he would, all right, I'll take you back in. I'll help you. We'll work on this. And then they do the same thing all over again. Oh, we don't really want you, God. We don't really need you. We're going to go do it our own way again. They would humble themselves. They would pray. They would seek his face. They would fast, and he would turn towards them again. Repeats, repeats, repeats. Look at, God's not looking for a way to exclude us. He wants to help. But he has a system, and it works. His ways work. Okay, so let's look at this one. Wait, I got to read you. You know what? I think I'm going to skip reading the prayer, and I'll just get to you. Let me read you verse 3, and then we'll skip a few verses. Daniel said, I set my face to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And then he goes on to record this prayer that he prayed again, where I told you he takes complete responsibility for the state that his nation was in. But go down to verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy heal of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the former vision being caused to fly swiftly, came near to me and touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice. Verse 22, he instructed me and made me understand. Do you want that? You want a divine visit, angelic visitation that will instruct you and make you understand things? Oh my gosh, me too. Listen, there's this old saying, and again, we're not trying to devise a formula to hear from God, but there is a saying, if you want what somebody else has, you'll do what they did to get it. And just like Ezekiel saw things, John saw things, Daniel saw things because he positioned himself to see them. So here this angel, he says, I came to instruct you and make you understand. He talked with me and he said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and wisdom and understanding. But look at this, verse 23. At the beginning of your prayer, the word went forth. At the beginning, at the start, it wasn't, this prayer is a great prayer. But the answer came when he turned himself and positioned himself correctly. When he set himself before the Lord, when he humbled himself by prayer and fasting, right off the bat, the prayer was answered. Now, if you go on to chapter 10, it's the same, pretty much the same scenario, except I'm going to just skip forward and go to, we'll read verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. The word was true, it was correct. He understood the word, had understanding of it. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no pleasant or desirable food, nor did any meat or wine come into my mouth, and I did not anoint myself for a full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was on the bank of the great river Hiddekel, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen. And then it goes on to describe this man. Some say it was Jesus. Some say it couldn't have been Jesus. But either way, Daniel is pouring out his heart to him. And look what it says, verse 11. It says, oh, Daniel, look at this. You greatly beloved, you know, it only says that twice in all the Bible. You greatly beloved man. You know, God loves all of us, but he's going to tell his secrets to those who get close enough to hear them. And he said, Daniel, you want to know some things, not just for yourself. Remember, what we know about Daniel wasn't even anything that he did wrong. We just knew what everybody else around him did wrong. Daniel was seeking on behalf of others. Okay, and the angel said, oh, Daniel, you greatly beloved man. Then he said, verse 12, fear not, for from the first day that you set, from the first day that you positioned yourself correctly, your prayer was answered. Now, it goes on to talk about there's some hindrances in the spiritual realm. And say Daniel had gotten to day 20 and said, you know, I'm tired of doing this. Can you imagine if Ezekiel had gotten to day, 389? I'm not going to do it, God. I'm just tired of this. We're going to hang in there. We're going to hang in there all the way through because we want to get to that day 21. We want to see what God has for us and has for this church. And I believe if we do what Daniel did, which is set ourselves, position ourselves correctly, humbling ourselves with prayer, with fasting, that we are going to hear from him words that will heal our land. But listen to this. It says about this, from the first day that you set your mind and heart to understand and to humble yourself, I have come as a consequence of what? Your words. What does Psalm 103:20 say? Does anybody know what that offhand? It's talking about the angels. This is an angel that's talking. I believe it was an angel. Angel that's talking to him. And that says that they hearken
to the voice of your word.
His word. That's right. They hearken to the voice of his word. He knew the word, y'all. The prayer in Daniel 9, he knew the word. He knew the word that was through Jeremiah. The prayer in Daniel 10, he knew the word. He knew what he was praying for. The angel came because he set himself correctly and he was praying the word. So if angels are hearkening to the voice of the Lord, the word, these words, and then they are ministering to us and helping us, if we have that from the right side, can you imagine if we go in this the wrong way and who is hearkening to the other words? Do you know the word? Do we know the word? Are we positioning ourselves correctly as we enter into the fast? Say you're fasting for your family. I need a breakthrough for my family. I need a breakthrough. Somebody's got some addiction. Do you have a word that you're praying? Or are you just, I'm just not going to eat something? Sometimes we go into these things and we're so focused on the, I'm not going to do this, that we're not focused on the time that we set ourselves toward the Lord, that we're praying and that we're fasting and we're praying the word. We have to pray accurately. We have to pray the word. This is what does not return void. Thank God my words do. You know, I've said so much wrong. But this is what does not return void. This is what we do not give up on. Are you fasting and praying for your family? Are you fasting and praying for your children? Are you fasting and praying for the nation? Are you fasting and praying for the church? Well, go into it with a word. Go into it like Daniel did, where he knew through studying Jeremiah what God's words were. Do you know God's word? Do you know God's word for your family? Do you know God's word? Do you know? Listen, he's not given up on a one of us yet, and he never will. But are we going to go into this praying God's word? Okay, so I just want to read you a couple more verses in that Daniel 20. Let's see, do I want to do that? Okay, no, I don't want to do that. All right, skip that. Okay, so let's. What I want to tell you about now is kind of the forming giant. So when I was asking the Lord, and believe me, I was praying about this last night because I thought, God, I know you want me to bring this to the church, but I don't know what it is. I'll just be honest. I don't know. My thought was, you know, rational and just trying to think it through, that a forming giant is going to be either good or it's going to be bad, right? That's the simple part of it. So this is good or bad. So tell me what it is, Lord. And so I'm praying into this last night and going, God, I'm going to say this tomorrow. I need help. I need to know. And what I felt like he told me was that it's both. Look at this. This is Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not overpower it. Okay, so I'm talking about the word God gave me to give you concerning our church and what we're praying for, because we're going to pray the word. That's the word you got. Okay, we're going to pray the word that the gates of hell will not overpower the church. And so when I asked him, what is the forming giant? Is it good? Is it bad? He said, it's both. Think about this. When he said that the church would be on the earth, he said there would be a gate in hell that was open. That's not good. Does that sound good? That's not good. That's a forming giant. That's pretty bad. But there is a promise to the church, to the ecclesia, to the governing body on the earth, the executive branch of the government. That's us. We take the word, just like Daniel did. The angels are coming for the word. This is our word. Not only was the kingdom of hell gates opened, a giant is forming. At the same time, there's the church. There's the church. And if you are a part of the ecclesia, the governing body, the executive branch of government here on the earth, you cannot be overcome, period. When you enter this fast, this is the word, this is the scripture that he gave me that we are to be praying over whatever the need is. We overcome. We overcome. We overcome. We overcome. You got a kid on drugs? No problem. We overcome. You got strife in your home? No problem. We're going to overcome. You got trouble going on in the church? No biggie. Can you imagine what it was like in Daniel's time? And he was in the government. I got this. We're in the church. There is nothing too big for God. Absolutely nothing. So that's my word for us. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. That's what we're going to pray when we enter this fast. All right. Thank you.
So, what we're going to do is just some practical things. About fasting, about how we do it. Do we have to do the Daniel fast? What the Daniel fast is it's just meat, it's just vegetables and water for 21 days. And fruit. No meat, no sweets, okay? And now you can take that fast and you can do it however you want. You can maneuver it, but this is all I ask. So say you can manipulate it, however, and say, okay, well, I'm just going to do that for my last meal or for my dinner meal. And then, you know, but however you do that, but you map it out before that day, and whatever you say you're going to do, you stick to that. Just stick to whatever you do, whatever you say, you know, and then do it that. And I get people have different health things, and there's certain things that you have to adhere to, medicines and things like that. So sometimes the fast, you can't adhere to them as strict. You do whatever you can do. Some people, sometimes we just, Amy and I will just say, we just won't eat until 5 o'clock. So we fast all day until 5 and then we eat at 5. That's okay. You know, whatever it is that you do, do that. But the reason that we're doing the Daniel fast is because though the Daniel fast is strictly tied to a revelatory impartation into your life. It's strictly due to revelation, right? Ezekiel and Daniel and them, they were getting these revelations. They were the smartest people. It says that they were gifted. They knew more than anybody with government and anything else. They were just gifted because of these types of fastings, okay? So that's why we do the Daniel fast, because we're looking for revelation. We want to know how to step into this new year. How do we do this? How do we move in? My fast is, how do I lead a people? How do we do this? How do we lead you rightly, correctly, with character and integrity? And how do we do this rightly? How do we see you correctly? How do we do this? And that's my prayer. How do we do that for my family? How do I lead my family correctly? How am I an example for my children? How can I set an example? How do I do this correctly? Because I can't just go out on my own and just make decisions on my own. I have to do things according to a standard that is set in my house. And how do we do this? Okay, so is there any questions that anybody has? Any practical questions that anybody might have? Now, you can do whatever you want to do, but whatever that is, just stick to that. Right? You can just do one meal. Just say, I'm not going to eat till noon, or I'm just going to fast breakfast, or I'll fast dinner. Right? But we're just saying the Daniel fast because that's the bulk of what we're trying to do. Any questions? Man, you're making this easy. No? Who's going to fast? Hands. Come on, Jesus. Amen. This is awesome. This is what moves God's heart. This really is what moves God's heart. You know, and when she was even talking about Daniel, a lot of times you don't understand how much they fasted. That when they came under the rule of Babylon, and he picked Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he picked all the strongest, best-looking, healthiest people of all these nations he would conquer, and he would put them aside almost like a zoo. Like, and just get all these people, then, no, look at the best of this nation. Look at the best of Israel. Here they are. And he would roll them out at parties and, like, show them off and stuff. And he said that he would put them aside for 3 years. The king would put them aside, teach them the language, teach them this, the culture, teach them all this. And they said, he said, give them all the best of everything. Give them the food, give them the wine, give them all this. Daniel said, I'm not eating that. Don't bring me that stuff. I don't want it. And the guy had a good relationship with Daniel. And he said, Daniel, you have to eat this. I'm going to get in trouble. If you don't eat the good food and the meat and the wine, I'm going to get in trouble because you're going to look sickly. And Daniel said, do this. Test me for 10 days. You bring me water and vegetables for 10 days and look how I look. And if I look skinny and withered, then we can stop it. So he said, okay, I'll do it. So for 10 days, he brought Daniel just water and vegetables. And Daniel looked healthier and stronger and more acute, more aware than any of them. Okay, that just wasn't a 10-day fast. He carried that out for all of the 3 years. Read the Bible. It says, then after the 3 years, he brought them before the king. 3 years of doing that. I can barely get through 21 days, like dragging myself across. 3 years. We can do this. We can do this. Amen? Okay, so if there's no questions, just make sure that whatever that is, and I think what we'll do is we'll print that prayer up, and we'll get that prayer, Matthew 16. And we'll print it up and we'll just have it and we'll give it to you. Put it on your fridge, put it on your mirror, put it on wherever. So in that day when you're fasting, you can just, you know, take that before the Lord and with whatever else you're seeking for the Lord from that time. Okay. So Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for what you're doing here. Lord, we just thank you that we are a people hungry for more of you. And Lord, you just showed us what a people who desires you and pursues you looks like. We have been grafted into your, we've been grafted in. We are your children. Israel was your firstborn. That's who they were. And you taught them out of the gate, this is how you seek me, through prayer and fasting. And Lord, that we want to be a people that pursue you in a way that is not normal. It goes beyond, because we're hungrier. We are not satisfied. I am not satisfied where I'm at. This room of people is not satisfied. Where we want more, because we know there's more. We know there is deeper levels. We know there are higher levels. We know that there is the deep things of God that we want answered. We want you to show up in our lives so miraculously that it'll be just like Ezekiel and Daniel, where you just show up to them. That's what it says in John 14:20, that when we keep your commandments and we seek you this way, that you will reveal yourself to us. And that's what we're going for. Father, we just thank you that you bless this time that we're coming into. Bless the month of September. We bless this new year and for the things that you're looking to do, not even nationally, but locally, individually, and in our families. Lord, you move in seasons. That's how you move. Lord, whatever you're wanting to do in this season for this new year, we just submit ourselves to it. And we say, we'll do it. We just say yes. We just come and move, and you have our yes right now, Lord. So we thank you for the grace to get us through September, and we thank you for the blessings that are coming because of it, because there is a consecrated people in this room, Lord. And we just thank you for who you are, and we just give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed, guys. Thank you so much.